preacher and author from the last century, A.W. Tozer, began one of his many books, The Knowledge of the Holy, with this line. It says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. I'm not sure how many times I have heard or read that quotation over the years, but it's one that is I hear regularly, I hear frequently, but sometimes I've thought, you know, that sounds like an overstatement, but the more I think about it, the more I study the Word of God, and the more I study humans, the more I realize that that statement is anything but an overstatement. For what we think about God influences everything we think. It influences the way we act and the way we talk. It also says a whole lot about who or what we worship, because we all worship. If my thoughts about God are kind of like a compassionate, doting grandma, I probably am going to look at God and think He should just give me everything I want. If I think that God is a capricious, malevolent overlord, I probably will try to appease Him in any way possible, or maybe I just try to hide from Him, hoping He doesn't come looking for me. But if I think God is too much like me, then I probably think the best ways to placate God are simply to chase after my greatest passions and infelicities and say I'm simply worshiping God. When it comes to what we believe about God, I've heard that, it is an emotionally challenging thing to change what we believe, to change who we believe God is. Now, there are several reasons for this, and not all of them will apply every time. And one reason is that our religion is tied deeply to how we see the world. And thus, to change means uprooting everything we know about reality. Another is that the relationships that we have with others, especially those closest to us, are tied to what we believe. And this is especially true where you have familial religions. And a third, and trust me, this does not exhaust the list by any means, but a third is that to change what we believe about God will change the way that we act and the way that we speak. Now, John, knowing that leaving the familiar religion of Judaism or many of the religions of the Roman world would be challenging, he wrote in a specific way. But he also knew that what we believed about God was foundational to everything else. And therefore, he wrote the Gospel of John to help us see that those changes were justified, and to help us hold on to our faith in Jesus if that was our first faith. You see, he doesn't waste any time, John doesn't, getting around to telling us who God is, so that we can have the right thoughts about Him. The thing is, the God John was speaking of might not have been the God people were expecting. And he may not be always the God that we're expecting or the God that the worlds around us are expecting. But God, or John, wants to introduce us to God. And so this morning we're going to be at John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. And this is what John says that we need to think about God. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning," or "he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." And so John begins this great story about someone with an introduction to God. And he begins saying some things that would have been difficult for his audience to read, some things that would have been challenging to their assumptions, because he begins his gospel with the words "in arche." In arche. Now, we recognize those words, even if we don't. In our translations, it's "in the beginning." To John's Jewish audience, and likely he was writing to a Jewish audience outside of Palestine, we can see this from several ways, but one of the ways that we really come to understand that John was writing, first of all, to a Jewish audience was in arche, in the beginning. Because it's the same word, the same two words actually, that Moses' words from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, were translated about 150 years before Jesus, about 200 years before John wrote his gospel. And in that Greek translation of the Old Testament, "in arche" are the two very first words of the Bible. In the beginning. And so you hear these words, and if you are steeped in the tradition of the Jewish mind and the Jewish religion, when John writes "in arche" and you're sitting there reading them, or you're sitting there as an audience listening to them be read, you hear "in arche" and you think the next word should be "God." "In the beginning, God," Moses writes. "In the beginning, God," but John simply says, "in the beginning." And I think if you're going to listen to this correctly from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "in the beginning, God," you have to hear it kind of with the booming voice of maybe Charleston Heston. Or maybe you need to hear it in the soothing, calm, but confident voice of Earl Ray Jones. Or possibly, maybe you need to hear it in the more hypnotic voice of Morgan Freeman. And yes, I've heard portions of the scripture read by all three. And Earl Ray Jones has done the whole Bible. And so I can just hear "in the beginning, God," in great ways. But that's beside the point. But John says, "in the beginning," and you expect him to hear God. And he's saying several things. He's making some grand statements here when he says in the beginning, because he's going to say in the beginning was the Word. And in doing so, he's making a statement that in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, in the beginning, before anything was that is, in the beginning, the Word was. There is no time historically where you can study where God was that the Word was not. You read through some of the Old Testament and you find that in some ways wisdom is spoken of as being the first thing that God created, and God used wisdom in creating everything. You read through some of the extra biblical texts that come from before the time of Christ that are in the Jewish tradition. And they speak about wisdom coming before anything else. But the thing is God created wisdom. But when John speaks about the Word, he doesn't say he was created. He says in the beginning. Before creation, before anything else, the Word was. And then he makes a second statement. The second statement, the Word was with God. The word with means that there is a relationship. There is some sort of way that two things are together. You know, we have salad with salad dressing. You understand that salad dressing goes with salad. We have meat and potatoes. Meat goes with the potatoes. You all thought it was the other way around. The potatoes, no. The meat goes with the potatoes. The potatoes are primary. Okay? Meat and potatoes. Potatoes are primary. We have these things that we talk about that go together. And it's a statement about relationship. And it's in John when he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It's a statement of relationship, and it's a statement of participation alongside of. So they're in a relationship and they are doing something. They are participating in something together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then John makes the statement, and the Word was God. Not simply a God. There were lots of other religions that had a lot of other gods. They would have their supreme God. He is the one who is above all the other gods, whoever you term him to be. But this God, probably in most of those ways of believing, he created a lot of little gods, a lot of lesser gods. And those lesser gods maybe even created some even lesser gods. And you go down until eventually you're getting away from the gods to the angelic beings, and then down to people, the earth, animals. But John doesn't say that he was simply a God. He says the Word was God. And he makes it very clear. He makes it very poignant. He makes it so much so that he is saying that that we just cannot understand the Word if we do not understand the Word being God. But at the same time, he made sure that we understand the distinction, so we can't say God the Father was the Word. There is a distinction, Well, it's kind of like the words that we use that they sound similar, but they have different meanings. Or they sound, or they're spelled similar, but they don't mean the exact same thing. Because theos is the word in Greek for God. And it's the word that is constantly and consistently used to speak of God. There's another word that means something divine, or something that has some semblance of divinity, but is not the God. And that word would be theos. They sound similar, they look similar, but there is a letter difference between theos and theos. And there is a world of difference in meaning. Because to say that something simply partakes of the divine means that it is not God. But John looks and John says the Word was God. Now, to what John is saying, this is the beginning of what becomes a Trinitarian thought. This is the beginnings, the underpinnings of what it means for us to be able to say that God is three persons, yet God is one. The fact that Jesus has the same qualities, the same attributes as God the Father, but he has a personal being that says he is distinct. Now, there are a lot of ways theologians have tried to explain this. I've heard it said, talked about that maybe we could talk about the Trinity like an egg. You know, you've got an egg, you've got the shell, you've got the white, and you've got the yolk. They all three make up the egg. Well, that fails on a few levels because the three are different in attributes. Well, we could talk about water, ice, and steam, and maybe this is the closest of anything I've ever seen, where you know you can talk about God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son, and they all three at all times have the same makeup. Water, ice, and steam are always H2O. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, H2O. But yet they exist in different states. Ice and water and steam. But there again, it isn't perfect, but John is saying something of the sort when he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John is making sure that we understand who God is. And he's going to use the rest of his book to show us that the Word is God. You go down and in verses 3, in the first part of verse 4, we see John tells us a little bit more about the Word, because he says that the Word was a part of creating all things. What we expected when we read in Arche, in the beginning, God created, that's what we would expect from a good Jewish point of view. In the beginning, God created. Well, John says in the beginning, and then he tells us a little bit about who we're talking about as God, and then he says created. He talks about the fact that the word, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 31, you read the account of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it goes on and it talks about each of the individual days, the things that God created in order of necessity, up until the point where he creates man. But you read, in the beginning, God created, and in in John, he says that there is nothing. There is nothing that was created that was not created by the Word. And so he's equating God, the Creator, with God, the Word, that he is going to tell us about in the book of John. And if you think about everything, you go back to Genesis chapter 1, it begins, he creates the heavens and the earth. What is outside of the heavens and the earth? In our sphere, our understanding, nothing. You go to the ends of the universe, the heavens, and we live on the earth. There's nothing else. And then he talks about the fact that he created the seas and the mountains and the islands. Where else can you go? He created night and he created day. He created vegetation to grow up on the ground. And then he created animals that live in the sea and in the air. And then he created the animals and the creepy things that crawl upon the ground. And then after all of that, he created mankind. He created Adam and Eve. And and John is saying that the Word was a portion of that creative process. There is nothing that has been created that he was not a part of creating. And the great thing is if we believe that, if we believe that God is the Creator, if we believe that the Word of God is the Creator, then it means that we should trust him to tell us why they were created, what they were created for, and how they are to carry out that purpose. And we should trust him to know those things. John also says, in talking about him and his creative nature, he also says that he is the giver of life. In him was life. And you read through the Old Testament, and who is the one who has life to give? God, the Creator, who breathes his breath into Adam, and he became a living being. You go to the book of Ezekiel, and there is a point when Ezekiel is seeing this vision. And God asks him if the dead bones can live again. And after a series of back and forth where Ezekiel is told to prophesy certain things, he eventually comes to the point, he says, prophesy the breath of God into them, and they come to life. Ezekiel didn't have life to give. God, and God alone throughout the Old Testament, was the one who was seen who had the ability to give life. And physically, John is saying that Jesus is the one who gives life. But he also is going to show us throughout his book, throughout what he writes, that the Word is also able to give life spiritually, to give life that gets to the deepest of who we are as spiritual beings. He is going to give us life. In the beginning, God, and nothing was created without him. And then John says that the Word who has life has the light. Now, there are a lot of ways that we could experience and we could understand and we could talk about light, but one of the things that light is clearly going to be shown through the book of John is that is to be the witness to God. That the Word of God is going to give light And in giving that light, he is going to illuminate who God is, truly is. I think about what the writer of Hebrews says. Beginning his book, the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 1 says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." The writer of Hebrews is saying very much the same thing that John is, but I like what he says here in verse 3. The Son is the radiance, the light that emanates out of or away from God's glory. John is telling us that who God is. And he says, who God is, the Word is. The Word and God are not different. What we see the Word of God displaying through the book of John is, as the writer of Hebrews says, the exact representation of God's being. You want to know what God is like, John is saying? Look at the Word. Read about, hear, listen to the story about the Word, and you will get the light that is the illumination of who God is. And then he makes this great comment. He says that the Word of God, the NIV says understood. Some translations in those same lines say comprehend. That the darkness has not comprehended who or what the light is. Some translations say that he is not overcome. That the Word of God cannot be overcome. And it's great because the Greek word that's used is a word that can mean both. It can mean to understand, to comprehend, to wrap your hands, your minds around something. I did not understand what was being said. But it also can mean that you have not mastered something. You have not completely been able to overpower and overcome it. And one translation I found used the word mastered. And that's the best word, I think, in our English to convey both parts of that Greek word, both meanings. You have not mastered something. And we can talk about mastering something as being able to comprehend and completely understand, but we can also talk about mastering being able to overpower something. And John says that the darkness cannot overcome, cannot overpower, cannot master the light. Because here's a physical reality. Where there is light, there is not darkness. There are only degrees of lightedness. Where there is not light, there is darkness. But where there is any amount of light, it's only a matter of how much light there is. And John says that the light is going to shine in the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. There will always be the light. And when the Word's opponents try to extinguish him, he always prevails. And that's a truth that you see throughout the book of John. The Word, his opponents, try to overpower him at different times in different ways. And at the end of the day, they can never overpower him. But also through the book of John, you find that the darkness cannot understand and cannot comprehend the light. And so the word speaks the truth, and those who do not have the light misconstrue his teachings. They come away with an improper understanding of what Jesus is trying to say, or the ways that Jesus is teaching. They simply do not get the message. And the thing is throughout the book of John, one of the things that we constantly see is that the religious leaders cannot disprove nor stop his teaching. They don't understand it. They try to stop it, but they cannot, because people continue to hear the truth in the words of Jesus. In the words of the Word. John doesn't tell us yet who he is talking about. You see, John begins to tell his audience a story. A story that if they will let it, will change their lives. And he understands that this is a big challenge. But it's one that he knows they need to hear, and a story that he needs to tell. And so he begins with this great thesis: God. That's John's thesis: God. God in the person of the Word, who was light and life, is the central character of the story that he's telling. And we must accept this light if we want to have life. In the weeks to come, we'll see that John is going to make clear who the Word is. But for now, for the beginning of the thoughts, John says it's enough that we understand who the Word is. And the Word is God. The Word has always been with the Father, who is God. And that's why we're here to celebrate this morning, because the Word is God. And let's stand together as we sing and continue to worship this morning.